Hello and welcome to a not-so-brief history of Disney World. I'm your host, William Tintle. If you aren't already, make sure to like, share, follow, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you also haven't already, make sure to go check us out on Instagram at a not-so-brief history of WDW. Again, that's at a not-so-brief history of WDW. You'll get important news updates, updates on upcoming episodes, teasers for upcoming episodes, and just a lot about what's happening currently at Walt Disney World. So yeah, make sure to go check that out at a not so brief history of WDW with no caps at a not so brief history of WDW. But otherwise, let's get right into it.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky to the Magic Kingdom.
Yesterday, Disneyland and the New York World's Fair. Tomorrow, a project so vast, it has already been called a whole new Disney World.
So when Walt Disney World opened in 1971, 50 years ago, almost 51, there were over 400,000 visitors in the first month alone. So most of these visitors were either from local areas and they got there by car, but again, a bulk of these people were coming through by airplane or air travel. So out of those 400,000 people, yes, a big bulk were coming in through air travel, and they were either traveling to Tampa or to Orlando, and those were the two main airports. But what you may not know is there was an additional airport built on Walt Disney World property. And now this airport was a Stolport, which stands for Short Takeoff and Landing Airport, Stolport. And it was only one strip, one runway, so it only took small passenger planes because it was a small strip, so it couldn't handle, you know, the bigger planes at the time. So it was just taking small passenger planes with 15 to 30 people. And now, on these airplanes were guests that would be get off that airplane, and now there was no hangar, so that these were just planes that were most likely just gonna fly out of there back, because they, again, there were no hangars. So when those guests got off, they would be transported to their resort, and that was something that was, you know, pretty special about it. It was kind of just a one-stop experience. You got transported to your hotel or wherever you were going. And now this is offered at Orlando International Airport, and it wasn't really offered at the time as much, but you could still, you know, get your transportation, but it was all covered by Disney, so it was like a much more smoother process, and obviously you don't hit as much traffic coming from the airport already on Walt Disney property. It's a much shorter, faster experience. And now something super, super special about this airport or Stolport was that when you landed, and this is a rumor, but we'll stick with it for today's episode. It was rumored that when you landed, there were grooves in the airport, similar to ones you see on some of these like musical highways. Grooves in the strip that you landed on that would play When You Wish Upon a Star. And now this is a more recent rumor. There was rumored to be songs that played, but the earlier rumors were that it would play Zippity-Doo-Dah. So, you know, either one of these, it was a pretty special experience because it was meant as more of a surprise to guests. Like, it wasn't as much a marketing thing that, like, oh, like this is the musical airport or anything. It was just Walt wanted it to be a surprise to guests. And Walt was pretty heavily involved with this because he used it when he was coming from, he would use it to transport him and his family from California to Florida. Anytime he wanted to, you know, go down there to look over the construction and make sure everything's in check. So it was something that he wanted to devote, like, a lot of his time into to make sure that it was nice and flawless for him so that it would be for guests. And in the 70s, the Walt Disney Company did have its own airlines, and that was Eastern Airlines, so you could even get, like, Disney flights. So there were a couple of those smaller planes that could land there, and even Walt's plane, you know, had all the Mickey Mouse emblems all over it, and it was very heavily Disney-themed. But obviously, it's no longer in use, and even when they were bringing in Walt Disney's plane for the studio backlot tour at MGM Studios, or Hollywood Studios, MGM Studios at the time, they used a strip of the highway. They opted not even to use the airport that was already there and had already been used for the plane because it just wasn't, it was just kind of forgotten and abandoned, and it's still there, but right now it's just being used for parking space and storage, so it's not something that's still in use as an airport necessarily, so it kind of lost its point. But Walt did originally want it to be an airport of the future. And he mentioned that in his famous Epcot film announcing Walt Disney World and talking about Epcot and all of that. So he did really want to intend to use it as something that would grow, and he wanted to use the land around him so that it could grow to this larger airport. And that's why I'm kind of including it in this episode, because we're kind of talking about the Disney World that could have been, and you might be thinking, well, this was, and it was used, it just was abandoned. But, like, really, this wasn't just supposed to be this one strip of runway. That was just the beginning. That was just the start of everything. So, had that maybe been expanded, had Walt continued, had Roy maybe continued to do this after Walt's death, continue to work on this, or if this was just continuously picked up over time and not just go defunct in the 70s. So, we don't know. This could have been something where, you know, this could have been a popular way to get there, and, you know, most likely you would have had to pay a considerable more amount of money, because it probably would have had, you know, services more in check with the Walt Disney Company, and it'd probably be a little bit more privately funded than Orlando International Airport, so there wouldn't have been as much space, but it still would have been a fully functional airport. Not something that would be used by, you know, hundreds of passenger airplanes per day, but something that was used by guests to get people there. So, while it doesn't seem like it would have been much, I think it would have been kind of something completely different, and I think it would be really cool to land on that airport and hear, you know, Zippity-Doo-Dah playing, or When You Wish Upon a Star, whichever it was. And actually, on Instagram this week, I did tease the episode with a story. I did the airplane landing and had When You Wish Upon a Star in the background, so that's how that connects if you're listening from here from Instagram. So just so you know how that got together, you probably figured that out by now. But that's something you will see on Instagram a lot, so make sure to go check us out on Instagram. And that basically brings us to the end of our episode today on our second episode of the Disney World that could have been. So I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you learned something and took away something. Maybe think about what could have happened. But that's it. Follow on Instagram. Follow on Spotify. Rate the podcast if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. And subscribe if you're listening on any other platform. And whatever you can do, share, help get the podcast out there, I would really appreciate it. But that's really it for today. And as always, have a zippity-doo-dah day. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-dah, wonderful.